You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. High up on a Bayview Hunters Point Hill is a tiny apartment building. From the outside, it looks like any other building on the block, but as you approach, sounds of laughing, singing, yelling, stomping, squealing, and music spill out the door and the windows. Gathered inside is a group of black girls, old friends, new friends, cousins, sisters, and neighbors. Every day after school, nearly 30 of them make their way here to be part of a makeshift girls-only clubhouse called Girls 2000. The girls can learn to cook for themselves, they help each other with homework, they work on art projects, talk about boys, and they learn how to grow. Reporter Mwende Hasey has their story.
A cluster of third and fourth graders take over the living room of the Girls 2000 headquarters after dinner.
Okay, fuck that over. You guys are waiting for me to count. I remember you guys. Everybody's gonna count out loud together.
An older girl named Carlina Sherrill teaches them some moves. Step, step, punch, punch, spin in a circle, and high five your neighbor.
5, 6, 7, 8.
1, 2, 3.
If you can edge your way around the little dancers, make your way up the staircase to the computer lab, which is really just a bedroom with a few computers, a love seat, and lots of books. Here is where the big girls congregate.
There are many communities that have denied power in society, that were denied. Come on, Arisha.
Six teenage girls work, or pretend to work, on class assignments. One looks at library books on a computer, another reads a book and texts on her phone. 15-year-old Rainisha Mims works on an essay.
I'm doing an essay about black women, how they've been manipulated, abandoned, sexually assaulted, they can't get jobs because of their race or their sexual gender. So it's just ridiculous, and I think it needs to stop.
Rainisha's being raised by her single mom, which means her mom can't always get to the school and talk to Rainisha's teachers. So, if Rainisha needs someone to go to school and advocate for her, girls will be on her side.
It's like very important for you to have that balance and that support.
That support gets reflected in almost everything the girls do here, like the essay Rainisha's writing about black women and oppression.
I have a picture right here of a girl's mouth covered because I was like, black people, like black women in particular, they don't get a chance to speak, and like they're not valued as much as other races are.
Photos of black female leaders adorn the walls of the apartment's living room. Michelle Obama, Harriet Tubman, Angela Davis, Rosa Parks.
I have another picture. It says, oppression can only survive through silence. And I think that is true. If you're like always being doubted and like not valuing yourself, like it's just going to keep you from saying anything to anybody instead of standing up for yourself. That's like with bullying or with like, you know, different places, you don't have a voice, but I think you have a mouth. You should use it.
Speaking up is encouraged here. Everyone is allowed to be themselves, even though sometimes the girls get a little too comfortable.
I said no selfies. We're going to do no selfie policy.
That's Ashley Blanco. She's 28 years old and works full-time with Girls 2000.
I don't want them to see themselves as just ratchet or hood or ghetto or whatever.
Ashley is a San Francisco native, raised in the Mission District. On her lapel is a button that reads, "We are the last 3%, outlined with the continent of Africa. 3% is how many African American people she believes still currently populate the city. The last census says those numbers are closer to 6%. Regardless, it's a population in rapid decline. Ashley says she wears the button because she wants folks to know black people still matter in San Francisco, despite the dwindling numbers. She especially wants the girls to understand.
Really, when I approached them, it's just like, I'm you from the future.
Ashley went to Howard University. For grad school, she studied urban education policy at Brown. But she came back to San Francisco to work with young people because she wanted to make an impact.
because I am them, you know, and they are me. So I always have that thing, like, you need to do well. And not because you're going to take care of me, but because I don't want to hear you're doing poorly down the line.
Ashley heads to the kitchen to serve dessert. Tonight, they're having banana bread. Ashley and the other adults who run the program do the bulk of the cooking. The girls sometimes chop up fruits and veggies. The food they eat is either donated or grown in their very own garden.
But you got grapevine about to take that.
It's gonna take the whole.
It's gonna, like, this gonna take that fence all the way down to almost the end where the blackberries are at.
The garden is a 20-minute walk from the apartment, way up one of the steepest hills in the Bayview. It's been here for 20 years.
The plan is, Bale, is we taking all of the greens out of beds and we're transplanting. That's what me and her are doing now. Like, where are we going?
It's 9 a.m., early for a Saturday morning of garden work. The girls trickle into the garden slowly, looking kind of sleepy.
Why do you want to grow that vegetable in the garden this summer? And I hope you know what plants you can grow in the summer in the garden. Ooh, y'all better know.
Okay. That's Brandy Mack. She's the director of Girls 2000. She grew up around farming.
We got three apple trees over there.
Brandy and a group of eight girls gather in a circle by the greenhouse. This is a little ritual they have before getting to work, a way to see how everyone's feeling. Brandy has everyone check in and say what they want to grow this summer.
My name is Maji and strawberries, because I like strawberries. My name is Lachey. Is it watermelon?
Yes, you know it, girl.
Watermelon.
We got sugar babies in the greenhouse. Sugar babies.
The sugar babies will be for the girls to sell at the Saturday Alamany Farmers Market, along with other fruits and veggies they grow. But first,
we're going to be transplanting a lot of things today. That's going to be the name of the game. Transplanting and weeding, because you clearly know our cousin Bermuda grass always creeps up, right?
Someone rolls out a speaker and turns on the radio full blast. The girls spread out amongst the 30 different raised beds and settle into the morning's work. They self-organize into teams. Some transplant mint, some get rid of compost, and others attack that pesky Bermuda grass.
Good job, Isis. Good job. Keep going down the rows.
Brandy likes to use gardening as a metaphor for how Girls 2000 is cultivating the girls' sense of self.
That if you spend too much time with just one thing, you're draining yourself. The idea of getting in there and having different species work together is what allows you to self-reflect.
Self-reflection is somewhat of a luxury when you grow up in the unstable conditions of a neighborhood like Bayview Hunters Point. But it's important, especially for teenagers, to learn to get out of their heads a bit and think about others.
Clearly, that's my underground mission, is to train a whole bunch of women farmers. Take over the world, Pinky. No, but what I do know is they'll have self-sufficiency.
Self-sufficiency, self-reflection, and self-confidence. This group of girls in a San Francisco neighborhood many people consider disadvantaged are rich. Rich with the support of mentors, multiple mother figures, female friends, and opportunities to explore themselves. This group has permanence because of loving cultivation, not just for the garden, but for human culture as well. For Cross Currents, I'm Wanda Hasey.